Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading for today sets before us several of God's commandments. And the verses before us make clear that God's commandments are all about relationships. Our relationship first with God, and also our relationship with our neighbor, with all others. So I invite you to stop and think for a moment how anger and name-calling affects a relationship. Stop to think about how adultery, lust, and pornography affect relationships. Stop to think how dishonesty and lying affects relationships. But the verses that we're going to hone in on today that perhaps speak most clearly to relationships are these. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How many of us long for reconciliation in our relationships? How many of us have given up hope that reconciliation can never happen? How many of us are the reason that reconciliation hasn't happened? How many of us don't even know where to begin when it comes to reconciling a relationship? In his expounding on the fifth commandment of "You shall not murder," Jesus commands us to be reconciled with others. And what he makes clear is that Jesus' desire is for his people to dwell in unity. In order for that to happen, though, relationships need to be reconciled. Easier said than done, right? Someone once defined reconciliation as this: going back to the beginning as if nothing ever happened in the first place to cause the separation. Now, we might hear that and think, how is that even possible? Well, let me share with you how it happens every day. Every day is an opportunity in life to daily die and rise with Christ, to confess our sins and receive his gift of forgiveness. It's an opportunity to be given a new start, to go back to the beginning as if nothing ever happened in the first place that caused that separation. That's what being justified by God means. Just as if I'd never sinned. This is precisely why we examine ourselves according to the Ten Commandments here in worship. We are shown our sins and the separation that they cause between us and God and us and others, so that we might see our desperate need for our Savior, Jesus. That is where reconciliation begins. It begins with Jesus. He is the great reconciler. You and I are sinners, and sinners sin, and sinners cause more separation. Jesus, however, is the one who reconciles. And we see that with him here on the cross, because this is Jesus standing in our place, serving as the reconciler between us and God, enduring our pain, our suffering, and our death, all in our place, so that now the Father looks at us and all he sees is Jesus. Perfect Jesus. Just as if we'd never done anything wrong to cause the separation between us and God. This is where reconciliation begins. Confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness for our sins. But when we turn away from Jesus and the forgiveness that He so freely gives to us, that's when things start to get ugly. Ugly is exactly how things had become for the people listening to Jesus speak that day. The scribes and the Pharisees had tacked on so many additional laws to God's law that nobody thought that salvation would be possible. And by their own merits and works, that would be right. Jesus speaking to them then provides a clarity that they had never heard before, so they could see what God truly desired. God desires reconciliation between us and Him and between us and others. And even though that provides clarity, it doesn't take away the fact that it's a very hard lesson for us to learn, for us and for them. Jesus' words force us to think in both a vertical and a horizontal dimension. Jesus cares about both. He most certainly cares for our relationship with God the Father. After all, that's why He went to the cross. But in no way does He care less about our relationship with others. In fact, His teaching here today proves that they are directly linked. Because God so loved us in Jesus, we are then to love others in that love of Jesus, even our enemies. Jesus tells us right after our text for today, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." An enemy is anyone we would feel hatred toward. So when you think of hatred, who do you think of? Republicans? Democrats? Those of a different race or religion? Is it a neighbor? Is it someone in your own family? You see, here we gather week after week around the altar of God to receive His Holy Supper for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. However, to hold on to a grudge and bear hatred toward another is to reject that gift of forgiveness. Scripture says that those who do not forgive shall not be forgiven by the Father. Which means that to reject this gift of forgiveness is to run the risk of receiving the Lord's Supper to our judgment rather than to our blessing. Consider this image as an example. The body of water at the top is the Sea of Galilee. The larger body of water at the bottom is the Dead Sea. And the Jordan River is what connects the two of them. And though the Jordan River flows into both of them, there is a crucial difference. What the Sea of Galilee receives, it also releases. What the Dead Sea receives, it keeps. Nothing flows out of it. And it's the difference between life and death. The Sea of Galilee is full of life. Water flows in, water flows out. All kinds of fish and vegetation live there. You might remember that this is where Jesus called some of His disciples when they were fishing to come and follow Him. On the flip side, though, water flows into the Dead Sea, but nothing flows out, causing such a high concentration in salt that nothing can survive. Hence its name, the Dead Sea. You get the picture there? God means for us to share this gift of forgiveness that He has given to us, not to box it up and to keep it to ourselves. It's why he teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We receive it and we give it away. He means for us to put away all of our bitterness and wrath and anger so that we don't end up like the Dead Sea with a dead spirit. He means for us to forgive as he has forgiven us. Now, this in no way implies that reconciliation in our earthly relationships is going to be easy, nor is it a guarantee. Jesus himself would tell us that. There is mockery, there are wounds, as well as that risk of rejection. But instead of throwing in the towel in our relationships, we take the road less traveled and we follow Jesus and what his word instructs us to do. Be reconciled. And we do this knowing full well that there will be wounds along the way. We see that reality every time we look at this picture of Christ on the cross. Reconciliation comes with a price. The good news is knowing full well that when it came to our need for our reconciliation with the Father, it didn't come at the price of our life. It came at the price of His. And He gives this gift of Himself to us here today at His table. And so now Jesus is at work within you. His body and His blood are in you, and so you're not alone. All along the way, He keeps strengthening you and filling you with His wisdom and His courage in the obstacles that come up in our relationships. He knows what lies ahead is going to be tough. And that's not just because of the other person. You are a sinner just as much as the other person. You will say and do things you know you shouldn't have said or done when seeking reconciliation. But there is good news. When you sin, when you say things or do things that you know you shouldn't have said or done, don't give up. Go right back to the beginning, right where this sermon started. Confess your sins, and your God, who is faithful, will forgive you. And return here to His table to receive His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, because it is here that you will be restored. It is here that you will receive reconciliation into the family of God. And then, renewed and refreshed, you go back out into the world using His gifts of love and forgiveness at work in you to bring reconciliation in your relationships. And yes, you might be told that the situation is hopeless, that healing can never happen. Perhaps you're thinking that even now. But that's never the case when you have a Savior that's all about healing your wounds and filling your life with hope that is sure and certain. Which is good news that I relish with you. I have not heard from my brother in months. I have not seen him in what is going on about 5 years now. And it hurts like crazy. This is the young man that I shared a room with for 16 years growing up. And it's no more. I'm tired of hearing the pain in my parents' voices as they're trying to come to terms with the fact that the next time all five of their kids might be together might be at their funerals. And that's a mite in their minds. And yet, as hopeless as that may sound, as hopeless as you may feel, there's still a place to turn for comfort when reconciliation doesn't happen as you had hoped. We turn to Jesus. We turn to Jesus and we look at Him there on the cross and we see those nail-pierced hands and that brow dripping with blood from that crown of thorns. And we see that because our Savior was rejected by His Father, we never will be. We have a family, and it's made that way by Jesus. It's the family of God. And so in our search for reconciliation in life, we see that there's a place to turn. We turn to Jesus, who reconciles us to our Father. We turn to Jesus, who teaches us to pray and to pray and to pray. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it is with that almighty power and with that almighty glory that He is at work in your lives and in your relationships to bring you all the hope and the healing that you need. Because that's what the great reconciler does. And He does it for you, and He does it for me. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so may that peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.